Welcome to another episode by Brian Spain Domain. Today we are going to talk about something we did a few weeks ago in a previous episode, when I talked about a heinous crime committed in a town just outside of Madrid. It's called Morata de Tajuña. It's about 40 kilometers to the southeast of Madrid. And I also mentioned that I might follow up on that story, that true crime story, if I had any news worth telling you about. To be honest with you, I didn't think I'd necessarily have any more to add, but boy, was I wrong. Just to help you recall what we're talking about, or if this is the first time you've listened to this story, this is the story of two women who were in their 70s, late 60s, 70s. It's hard to get their exact age. I see a different age every time I read an article. Who fell for an internet scam involving someone or possibly several people who wooed their way into their hearts by pretending that they were members of the American military, soldiers who had been in Afghanistan, and that they had fallen in love with these women when they saw their profiles on Facebook. The women were retired, as I said. They were in their 70s, probably. Apparently had never been married. One was a teacher, another had a store, but they had an education. They were, you know, seemed to have had enough preparation to be wary of these things. But I think the fact that they were lonely, that's a possible argument that I've come up with, made them especially vulnerable. Anyway, eventually the scammer began to ask for large sums of money. This is a scam that went on for years and years, and the women willingly sent it to them. We are talking hundreds of thousands of euros. And the justification was that they would be receiving a multi-million dollar inheritance. This is a classic online ruse. These women went to great extremes to satisfy their lover's request. They sold an apartment they had in the city of Madrid and sent the money that they made from the sale. They sent all the money that they had on themselves, also their pension checks, their social security checks. They would send them on, and eventually they ran out of money. And out of desperation, they began to ask people in the town, friends and family, if they would loan them money. I even think they went as far as to ask the mayor and the local priest. No one did, basically because everyone realized that this was a scam and that they were being swindled. And they warned these women over and over again, but they just wouldn't listen. It's incredible, but it's true. So that in itself is a sad story, but it's only going to get worse. The only one who did offer their assistance was the owner of a call center in a nearby town called Arganda. This is where they would send their money off to their American soldiers, to the scammers. He allegedly sold his business to raise the funds and invest in their spending. He was originally from Pakistan, and his name was Dilawar Hussain Fazal Chaudhary. Now, he moved into their house in Morata to make sure that they would make good on their debts. And that was a big mistake. To make a long story short, as money was not being returned, obviously, he began to become physically abusive to the women, especially one. He kicked her one time, and then on another occasion, he hit her over the head with a hammer. So he was put in jail briefly, but then released in September of 2023. He returned to their house in December and bludgeoned them to death, along with their brother, who was living with them, who suffered from intellectual deficiency. As I said, the three were in their 70s. After that, he piled their bodies up near the entrance and tried to burn them in sort of a feeble attempt to get rid of evidence. Their bodies were found nearly a month later, which is also another, personally, I find shocking that it would be a month before anyone realized they were missing. So it was a horrifying story. Mr. Chaudhary actually confessed to the crime and was sent to a prison in the region of Madrid, where he awaited trial. Now, during this period, during these weeks after the murder, they put him in a cell with a Bulgarian man named Angel Azanov, who was no angel, I might add. He had been convicted of a number of serious crimes, including sexual assault and sexual abuse of his girlfriend. He physically maimed her in a horrible way. So this was no nice guy. But anyway, he was in the cell with Chaudhary, and he was there to sort of shadow the newcomer and keep an eye on him and hopefully help him integrate into his new situation. And at first they seemed to get along well enough. They even played a lot of chess together. And so that probably gives us some insight into their personalities. But then something went wrong, went terribly wrong. And I don't think what triggered this man, Chaudhary, has been fully explained. On February 14th, I think it was like 2:30 in the morning, Chaudhary rang up the guard's office on the intercom. Each cell had an intercom, and told them that he had just killed his cellmate. And we later learned that he did that by crushing Azanov's head with a barbell. So here we have a situation where this man basically kills his victims or assaults his victims in a similar fashion with a similar type of weapon and going for the same part of the body. We are definitely presented with an individual who seems to suffer from a very serious psychiatric disorder. In the previous podcast on this subject, I almost flippantly remarked on his anger management issues, but this is clearly a very serious problem. We have also been able to learn a little bit more about Chaudhary's frame of mind, his mental health, his personality, from the way he behaved on that evening. I guess they had a fight, possibly had a fight in the cafeteria where they were eating, but that's not, I don't think that has been confirmed. But anyway, things were okay up to that point, or at least there was nothing that suggested there was something to concern the guards. And then after doing the deed, murdering Azanov, Chaudhary took the time to take a shower and clean himself off. Apparently he covered the body of his victim, and then he calmly called the officers on duty through the intercom and told them that he had killed his cellmate. I'm no expert here, but this seems like a clear-cut need for a person to distance themselves from the horror of what they had just committed. Anyway, the guards raced to the cell, and when they saw it, apparently it sent chills up and down their spines. It was a horrifying sight. Chaudhary was immediately put into isolation and eventually relocated. He is currently in a penitentiary in the region of Galicia, I believe, where he is awaiting trial. So let's think about where this has all gone. Think about the scope of this tragedy. This is a story that started out as an internet theft scheme. Who is behind that? No one seems to know. But tracking down and prosecuting the people who were behind it seems to me to be a next to impossible task, but you never know. I believe it has been suggested that those who perpetrated this act were from an Eastern European country, but I haven't found anything else on this story. And then you have the lives of three individuals who were ruined as a result financially. These innocent people in many ways, but they are certainly one of the most gullible. It's almost another story worth studying from a psychological standpoint, because their obstinance, their stubbornness to go on believing what everyone was telling them was not true, but somehow they just wanted to believe it. And then they seek the help of a man, a person who had nothing to do with the situation, nothing to do with the women, nothing to do with anything. And unfortunately for them, this man turns out to be basically a cold-blooded murderer. On top of that, he had ended up getting sucked in on this scam, and that's surprising in itself. He didn't pick up on the or detect anything unusual about that. And as I said, he ended up killing them in a brutal fashion. He finally gets put in jail. And another man who was there in jail for an entirely separate matter with his world, his past, his whatever, ends up getting brutally killed too. So once again, a whole slew of questions and concerns have been raised this time about the efficacy of the penal system's approach to managing inmates with complex psychological profiles and the inherent risks of housing them in close quarters with another potentially vulnerable individual. This was intentional. They were put together to try to sort of help each other, but the result was the exact opposite. Now, I'm not criticizing the system saying they're just horrible. No, it's just I think something seriously went wrong, and it's something that they need to look at because this got by them. They must have had at least two psychological screenings when he was in jail for the first time, and then he was put in jail again last month for the triple murder. And the way he killed these people, or the way he attacked these people, it seems that somehow nothing, not enough red flags were there, or they missed the red flags, to realize that maybe this was not a person you should put with another human being. Something got by the system. Then there are the reactions from the different circles. The town was shocked, but not totally shocked. The women and their insistence on believing the fake American military personnel, their constant asking of money from friends and family, despite all their warnings, the obstinance was unbelievable, and it got them isolated. From the interviews I saw and read, there was definite consternation. But to a small degree, you could almost sense that some people felt as if they sort of had it coming to them, which is sort of a horrible thing to think. But anyway, what about the Bulgarians' family? Are they upset that the penal system in Spain failed and allowed Azanov to get killed by his cellmate? He was beaten to death in a cell block and no one detected it, no one heard anything? And what about the victim's family? By victims, I mean Azanov's victims, the people, the girlfriend he abused and tortured, do they consider his death to be a miracle, a fate he deserved? And Chaudhary, not a word from his family back home, not a big surprise there, but some Pakistani papers have mentioned the crime and have been following it somewhat, but little more than that. So, as I was saying, what began as a routine online scandal, which in itself got way out of hand, far beyond what anyone would have imagined, has unfolded into a horrifying string of crimes, of brutal murders involving three totally unrelated people or groups of people, and has ended in four deaths. It's bizarre. Chaudhary can expect a very lengthy stay in prison. This would have been a life sentence without parole for sure in the US, if not even more serious punishment. But in Spain, you never know. Anyway, he should be there for a very long time. And we'll stop there. I may or may not have an update on this story. I didn't expect to the first time, but now you never know. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.